Well, I'm so glad to be here tonight, and as Fraser mentioned, I'm actually going to talk to you tonight, part two of a message that God laid on my heart about a month ago called Commitment to Community. But if you're taking notes, the title of tonight's message is Authentic Community. And when I shared a couple of weeks ago, what I really wanted to get across is the importance of commitment to community. I shared with you why it's important. Principally, when we come together, something beautiful and powerful takes place. Unfortunately, however, in the last 100 years, we've seen this massive shift in our culture. Where once culture valued community and the collective, now we see a huge shift towards individualism, and that is going on your own, doing it in your own, you know, in your own power and ability. And that's come, unfortunately, to a huge cost. I personally think we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg in terms of things like social isolation, loneliness, and increasing rates of anxiety. Because the fact is that we actually are created for community. We are made in God's image, and God's image is a collective. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are made in that image. We thrive when we are in community. We're not designed just to go it on our own. We need each other. So God has actually been speaking to me heaps about this as a topic, about belonging and intimacy and doing relationships. And as I was sitting 2 weeks ago when Pastor Mark Connor started his two-part series on how to get along with people, I was sitting on the front row, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I thought, crikey, that's what I want to preach on. Oh, no, do I have to toss out everything that God's been speaking to me about? But I realized, and we haven't been in communication. Pastor Rob has basically said to us, whatever's on your heart, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, you share it. I just realized the Holy Spirit really wants us to get this. He really does. I was speaking to Ken Bergen, great message through communion. Well done. Yeah. Beautiful. He shared, he didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. And yet the Holy Spirit is trying to get across the importance of community, the commonality of being together. And so I am going to probably reiterate a couple of things that Pastor Mark Connor shared through the past couple of weeks. And if you didn't get to hear that message, please just jump online during the week and listen to it. I truly believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Sometimes we're a bit thick. We need to hear things a couple of times, right? I know, not you, me, right? Yeah. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about what makes an authentic Christ-like community. Now, there's heaps of communities out there. What we're interested in here is about creating a Christ-like community, one that loves Jesus and is choosing to follow him. Now, I'm going to give you a simple definition of authentic. It simply means an undisputed origin, something that is not a copy, something that is genuine. Now, I want to just give you a couple of examples. Today, I believe we live in a world of a lot of fakes. Would you agree? I was simply driving down Warrigal Road yesterday, and I came across this advertisement for Facebook. Fake accounts are not our friends. So Facebook, or Fakebook, is doing a whole lot of advertising and pouring a whole lot of money into finding fake accounts. Basically, people who are setting up accounts and profiles that are not necessarily them. It also happens on Instagram. It happens in all sorts of social media places where there are fake accounts. There are apps to make us look fake. What do I mean by that? Well, I didn't even know this, but apparently when you're so interested in taking a selfie of yourself, you can now get a little app and you can almost Photoshop your whole face to look something different, upload it to Instagram, and because you look so hot, you get all these extra likes. I thought, I was just gobsmacked. I was so like, oh my gosh, what are we coming to? But look, there are a lot of fakes on the market, fake products. You've got handbags, shoes, watches. Anyone who comes out with a design of stuff, of something really good, the next day there's a copy of it. To show you a little experiment, Chloe, can I invite you up here? If you want to grab the mic as well. I've got two handbags. Now, one of these is the genuine article. One of these is a copy, right? One of these is a genuine article. One of these is the copy. Apart from the size and apart from the colour, I want you to try and decipher which one might be the genuine Mr. Longchamp.
Is there like a typo or something on it?
Have you got the mic?
Yep.
Let me hold it for you. You seem like someone who knows her stuff.
Not this. I'm going to go, this is the genuine.
Yep. And why is that?
That's got loose thread.
That's got loose thread.
So that's the only reason why.
Okay. So that's got loose thread is the only reason why that is the genuine.
This one's also used more.
So well, apart from being used
I'd assume you'd use the real one more, so.
So which one's, this one is used more?
It looks it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, apart from the fact that it's red and I love red, don't I? Yes, this is the genuine article. And yes, that is falling apart and not made genuinely like this one. And also the finishings aren't as good. If you look at the little buckle, have a comparison. What do you reckon?
Oop. The red one's really shiny.
Yeah. So thank you, Chloe.
That's all
you
right.
Can take those handbags with you.
All right.
You can take the handbag. Okay, took a little bit of looking into. Sometimes we can't tell what's a fake. On first glance, it looks like the genuine article. But usually what happens with fakes is they've used cheaper materials, not used the genuine thing to make it look like what the creator designed it for. It's usually scrimping on something. The creator or the designer usually had something in mind for it. But a copy or a fake usually doesn't reflect all the aspects of the original creator. So when we're talking about creating an authentic Christ-like community, it's one that reflects the heart of the creator. Jesus rebuked the leaders of his day for leading communities that did not reflect the heart of God. In Mark 7:6, Jesus said to the people, "Isaiah prophesied correctly about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. Disregarding the command of God, you keep the tradition of men." These leaders had created a community that did not reflect God's heart. They were teaching, more concerned about teaching the doctrines of men rather than the commands of God to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. On the outside, it looked kind of right. They were doing kind of the right things on the outside. But on the inside, they were far from loving God. Their heart was far away from God. It was all more about appearances, not authenticity. It's actually saying one thing, but deep down really meaning another. That's hypocrisy. And an authentic Christ-like community, it's one where we're actually really genuine in who we are as people and where we are on the journey. And that's a really important distinguishing note, that it's not just who we are, but it's also where we are on the journey in Christ-likeness. We want to create a place in here where it feels safe and authentic, where we can receive God's unmerited and undeserved love and be our authentic selves and be able to say where we are on the journey. And so I'm really interested in knowing how we can create a community like that or increase that as a community. And tonight I want to share with you just 3 points and how I think we can do that. The first is learning. An authentic Christ-like community is a learning community. Anyone here know it all? And I mean all. Anyone? No nudging the next person. Anyone know it all? No one? Because seriously, if you do know it all, no one has a right to be up here other than you. Anyone? No. Okay, no one knows it all. I certainly don't know it all. Pastor Rob doesn't know it all. The only one who knows it all is God himself. And because of that, that means we're all learning. We're all students. We're learning as we come together. We learn about each other and we learn about God and we learn about ourselves. You know, it's actually really hard to learn on your own. I've gone back to study. I shared this with you last month. And I had the option to either learn online or go in and do the traditional classroom environment. Now, the online option was really tempting. I could stay at home, watch it anytime I liked, put my trackies and my UGG boots and log on and do the classroom in my own time. The classroom was far more of an effort. I had to do it at a set time. I had to battle traffic for an hour across town and after a full day's work, be in a classroom environment. Now, I chose the classroom environment. The reason why is because I learn better in a classroom environment. You see, everyone's kind of contributing to the ideas that are being taught and asking questions. And as people asking questions I wouldn't even think about, this incredible learning started to take place. It's a richer environment. Even the lecturer, the one who kind of is a little bit ahead of all of us, who's sharing, they're even learning because of our experiences and questions. So learning is actually taking a really humble position of I don't know. We like to think we're experts, that we know our stuff, but it's actually a really good thing to say, I don't know, when we don't know. Have you ever been at a work function or maybe a party and there's a conversation ensue and everyone seems to know what they're talking about, but maybe something's happened in the news and you haven't caught on and everyone else seems to know what's going on and then someone asks you a question and you kind of don't want to look like an idiot, like you don't know what don't know what's going on, so you fumble through an answer trying to pretend that you do? Anyone done that? I've done that. Anyone? No? I'm like, Scotty, thank you. You kind of don't want to look like the ignoramus. I don't know. So you kind of fumble your way through. Teenagers are great know-it-alls. I know, I was one of them. When mum and dad corrected you, you go, I know, I know. Yeah, my mother used to say to all three of us, well, particularly my sister Lara, because she's here tonight, she would say... Easier to blame Lara. She would say, you know nothing. That was Mama Tina. And Mama Tina was right. We don't know everything. Actual fact, the more you do learn, the more you realise there's so much more to learn. It's not that we don't know things. Life teaches you things and you start to discover and learn, but there is always more to learn. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't see the full picture. We don't fully always know what's going on. The Bible reminds us, even if you think you do, in 1 Corinthians 8:2, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he does not yet know it as he ought to know it. So we need to get this picture that we are in a learning community. We're learning about each other, we're learning about ourselves, and we're learning about God. In fact, Jesus says in John 17:3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. If you want to know what eternal life's about, it's about learning and knowing God. And we can never think we're going to arrive, even in eternity, in knowing God fully. We're going to keep learning about him. We're all students. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years, and there's some things I think I know about him, but there is so much more to learn and discover. And I'm sure I'm in good company with all of you. So developing authentic community is actually about being really curious and open to learning and discovering about each other and about God and ourselves. It's so often funny when I watch a couple that is dating. They're falling in love maybe, and they're all excited about learning about each other. And then maybe they get married and the busyness of life and parenting and all the rest, they stop learning about each other and being curious about each other. They kind of settle in what they know about them back here, but not actually learning more, not realizing that we change and we evolve and we transform. So it's having that mindset of being open and curious. I think when we're closed off, what we tend to then do is box and categorize and label and make judgments about people, not realizing that people are changing and evolving just as we are. So when we come close in doing life here in community, we're learning about each other. It's why it's so important to know each other's stories and to ask questions. Pastor Mark mentioned one really great point about listening. And the reason why we listen is so that we can learn. We don't always know why people act the way they do or respond the way they do. But when we hear and listen about their stories, it gives us a little understanding, doesn't it? And when we do that for ourselves, when we learn about our own story and what's impacting our decisions and our actions, and the way we respond and what we project onto others, when we understand our own story, we then start to realize and have more compassion for other people, because we're all broken people. And when we start to learn about that, it enables us to reach out. My second point is that we're learning to love. An authentic Christ-like community is one that is learning to love. Jesus left us two very simple commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love others as yourself. That's in Luke 10:27. Really easy to roll off the tongue, have you noticed that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and your strength. Love others as yourself. Really hard to do. How, Lord? How do we love you with all our soul, all our strength, all our mind? And how do I love others like myself? What if I don't love myself? How do we do this thing? For starters, I believe we need to understand that when we come out of our mother's womb, we didn't know how to love. Adam and Eve, we think the first man and woman created, they too had to learn how to love. I look at God going up to Adam after they've eaten the forbidden fruit, and he asks some questions. Now, this is a prime opportunity for Adam to defend and be a knight in shining armor for Eve. What did he do? That woman you gave me, God, you? Well, not a very loving response. He blamed God for giving him the woman. He had to still learn how to love. Love is something that we learn. A baby, if it's raised in a really loving environment, is nurtured and feels secure and safe. You know, it's not doing much, it's just receiving. It's just receiving all this love. But as this child starts to grow, the expectation really starts to shift. The child's not just about receiving love, it's also the expectations that the child will start to learn how to give love. Now, that's talking about a really beautiful environment. But none of us come from perfect environments. Some of us have had great family upbringings, others maybe not so much. We learn how to love in our family home environments. Even the greatest home environment, we still haven't learnt perfectly how to love. We have to learn to love and put on love, as Paul says in Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, God's, and that's first and foremost, God loves us and chooses us. Put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts, be thankful. This whole passage of scripture is about learning how to love. Now, learning how to love, in my mind, is like learning how to dance. I recently, last Christmas, was given a voucher for some salsa classes from my niece. And so 2 weeks ago, I decided to redeem one of those lessons and go in and do beginner's salsa. Now, it was very entertaining. There was about, I reckon, 80 people. A good ratio, men to women. I was kind of thinking, well, you know, is there going to be like 60% or 80% women and just 20% men? No, it was a good ratio. And we're all there to learn. Now, the instructor was fabulous. He was really, you know, taught us some things. He basically said, now, not everybody knows how to move naturally, he started off the class. He said, some people were raised with rhythm in the house, and so they already knew at a young age how to move their feet and their hips. He says, others of you, not so much. You're going to have to do more lessons, he basically said. And then he showed us some basic steps. Now, I'm going to call on some volunteers on this front row. Fraser. Scotty. Jackie. And Carlos. Where's Carlos? He was a happy volunteer. Yep. And maybe Veronica. Could you do this for me? We're going to have some fun in church. But you're not getting out of this either. Now, I want you to all be in a straight line. Now, I want us all to stand because we're all going to do this together. Now, I premise this by saying I'm no expert. Yes, thanks, Russ. I'm no expert. I've just had one lesson, okay? So, salsa has 8 beats. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, complication right here. You don't count the fourth beat. So, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Got it? All right, so let's do that together. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. All right, now we're going to move our feet. Yeah, fun. So to that beat, right? So what with your right foot, you're basically going for a little walk. You're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, we need to step up. Yep. Okay, ready? Just watch. We're doing 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Right, now we're going to do it all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Woo! Hey, you've learnt the basic step in salsa. Now, if you feel a little bit adventurous, you can move your hips. Now, I'm going to be so brave. How's the time? 12 minutes. I'm going to teach you one other step just to make this point clear, right? We're going to do the cucaracha step. Same principle, but just to the side. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Got it? Now we're going to do it to music. Okay, maestro. Now listen to the music. It's got beating. It's got counting in it. All right.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Basic step. 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Cucaracha. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, our volunteers. I'm so impressed with you, Bayside Church. When we do things together, it's awesome. So much more fun. Bet you didn't think you'd be doing that tonight. Okay, so we just learnt a basic step and a cucaracha step of salsa, and we put it all together. So you learnt 2 steps. Well, salsa apparently has a lot of steps. And, you know, I think learning to love is like that too. Lots of steps in learning how to love. This passage of scripture that I just read in Colossians shares a lot of steps compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All these are steps, and all of us are learning how to walk them out and dance them out. None of us know it all together all the time. If you watched us, we were all a bit fumbling along the way. We weren't getting it all together right. But as you practice and as you do this thing, you start to realize how beautiful it looks. And it looks much like this video that I'm going to show you. Thank you, media team. Basic step in there, and it's called Garacha step, but all together, when you put it together, it looks pretty amazing. Thank you, media team, that's it. And that's just a few steps, but there's a whole lot more, which I could have shown you, but it was inappropriate for church. So we have to remind ourselves that we are learning the moves to love, and that means we need to give each other grace and kindness and patience as we do this, as we journey together. I don't think it's by chance that forgiveness is one of the steps. If this was a perfect community of love, we wouldn't need to have forgiveness. Forgiveness is very much a part of it. Which leads me to my final point tonight, and that's learning to love our imperfections. An authentic Christ-like community is learning to love our imperfections, and to actually see our imperfections and our brokenness and woundedness is a gift in learning how to love. Somehow there's this perception out there that church is a place where there are perfect people and people don't want to come in here because maybe, you know, everyone's got their life together. Well, I would absolutely love to have on the door, on the front door, that says, "Welcome, no perfect people here." An inauthentic Christian community is when Christianity actually gets reduced to a moral code of behaviour, rather than being this radical learning centre of love where we're learning to love like Christ. The Pharisees basically reduced their faith to that type of religion where it's all about a list of behaviours, and if you kept up with the list of behaviours, you then belonged. And they were judging each other and they were calling each other out. An authentic Christ-like community accepts where people are at and the fact that we're all different places and on a journey. And just because we're choosing to walk with Christ doesn't mean we've arrived. We're on the way, and that's the most important thing here. Some people are actually afraid to follow Christ because they think Christ expects perfection from them. They feel that God won't love them unless they're perfect. That's perfectionism. Perfectionism is not about trying to do your best and doing well. Perfectionism is saying that anything short of perfect is unacceptable and that we're not worthy to receive love unless we are perfect. It actually is hiding a pain and a shame of unworthiness. It often can whisper in our ears and say, you know, unless you do this, then you will be loved. Well, Jesus came to demonstrate that we are worthy and loved despite what we do, despite our imperfections. He said we are worthy. We are worthy to die on a cross for. The Bible often, well, people say, oh, doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to be perfect? And then what they're referencing is Matthew 5:46, where it says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." I want us to think about that. If we truly think God wants for us perfection, He's expecting from us perfection, that He's expecting that we will never sin, that we'll never make a mistake, that we'll never, you know, stuff up, is that truly what God expects of us? Something about this doesn't ring true for me. So what is the scripture actually really saying? Well, Jesus makes this statement at the conclusion of a teaching on how to love our neighbours. And he's talking here about the fact that we're called to love everyone, not just the people we like and get along with really easily, but even our enemies we're called to love them. Well, what kind of love do we need to have to be able to love our enemies? It has to be a fairly deep love, a fairly mature love, one that has been learnt, has been taught and learnt and gone to a deep level, a complete type of love. This is more of an accurate picture of what this word perfect actually means. It's deep, it's complete, and it's mature. So that's what we're called to, is to love people despite the imperfections that we see. We're called to love them. Does this mean that we don't call out on behaviour that's not right? Well, I think, you know, absolutely. If it's causing and hurting other people in our community, we do, gently, we correct. But we also have to keep in mind always that we look at the speck in our own eye and not the, you know, sorry, the log in our own eye, just not the speck in someone else's. We have to, if we're going to correct each other in community, do it with love and grace and gentleness. That's what authentic Christ-like communities do. They're not communities made up of perfect individuals, but rather individuals that are learning to love deeply and wholly despite our imperfections. I just want to wrap up with a word that was given to me last year. We had a prophetic gathering here last year as one of our initiatives, and we trained up a whole lot of prophets in our house, and we had this gathering where all the leaders had an opportunity to be prophesied over. And I had received a prophetic word myself, and part of what I'm talking about to you tonight was spoken over me. And I really feel it was befitting just to speak this over you tonight, and hopefully it might ring something true for you. So if you maybe want to close your eyes right now, and I'm just going to read this word over you and let the Spirit of God do what He wants to do. And this was the word. I have a word, two different words. It's two different ways to say the word, and the word is perfect. We all know what you are when you're perfect. You're perfect. But the word is actually perfect. When you perfect something, you're working towards perfection. And I see a picture of the beautiful potter's wheel. I just see you soft and beautiful in the hands of the potter and just going round and round and round and being so pliable and so soft. It's almost like every day God can create you to be a different vessel through your softness and your journey to perfection. You can be used for different things every day because you're soft and you're pliable. So just keep that way. Keep being on the potter's wheel and keep letting Him mold you and keep expecting Him to do new things through you. And remember the scripture that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day He comes. So don't strive for perfection this side of eternity. Just strive to being on that journey to perfection and enjoy being used the amazing ways that you never even thought of. Push outside of yourself and just let it happen by the softness of you on that wheel. Amen. Open your eyes. I love this word because it just reminds me, and maybe hopefully it's reminded you, that we are all on a journey. And we're on a journey of learning about each other. And we all have our own story. We all have our own wounds and brokenness. And I believe we only can journey through those when we're in a safe place, an authentic place, where we give each other room, where we allow ourselves to extend love to each other. And despite our imperfections, we allow that to be an opportunity for God's light and love to come in. And I think when we create that kind of community, then it's really a magnet that is easy for people to come into this place. Amen.